Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we come before you, Father. Each one of us a chosen instrument, Father, that you mean to develop by your Spirit in the fullness of Christ Jesus. Each one of us chosen, called forth, O God, from the foundations of the world, Father. To be, O Lord, a people set apart unto you, Father. To be vessels yielded to you, Father. To be vessels, O God, to be unveiled for the glory of your majesty, Father. And as this school of ministry, O God, is commenced, Father, we pray, O God, that you will bless each and every person, Father, who comes into this ministry, Father, that each heart will be open to know you, to love you, to belong to you, that each person will be taught of you, Father, each person will be developed, O God, by your Holy Spirit in the situations and circumstances of their life, that you will unveil a calling within them, Father, to know and to understand, O God, your purposes, Father, what you have purposed in each and every person's life, Father. So, Father, as we stand before you at this time, Lord, we ask, O God, that you enlighten us, that you energize us, that you empower us, that you open us, O God, by your Spirit to the fullness of Christ Jesus, that we may receive your word written upon the tablets of our heart, that we will receive your word, O God, so that it will form the covenant in which, O God, we will be all that you want us to be, Father. A covenant fashioned in your will, a covenant fashioned in the fullness of Jesus Christ, a covenant described in his Spirit and his life, a covenant established in his faith, a covenant fulfilled in his love, a covenant made alive in each one of us by the Holy Spirit, a covenant dedicated, O God, to the glory of your majesty. So we pray, Lord, that this school of ministry, O God, will be a school in which, O God, you will truly, O God, develop the covenant, O God, that you have for each and every person here, Father. So we ask you, Lord, to bless, O God. We ask you, Lord, to create, Father. We ask you, Lord, to expand our hearts, to expand our minds. We ask you, O God, to transform us in the radiance of the light of your life, Lord. Let everything that is within us, O God, be opened in the name of Jesus. Let everything that is within us, O God, glorify your name. Let everything that is within us, O God, bless you, Father. So we pray that we will be a blessing to you so that we can truly be blessed in everything that we become, Father. So Lord, lead us and guide us. Establish us, fulfill our lives in your righteousness. Manifest the glory of your grace, Father, within us and amongst us, in all that we will do, Father, forever and ever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is Module 1. And Module 1 speaks of the intent, the flow and intent of the Scriptures. The flow and intent of the Scriptures. The Bible has purpose to it. The purpose that God has, that He wants to develop through a people that he has chosen. A people called to be his own people. The purposes of God are so vast that he has chosen a people to unfold those purposes. A chosen people who are to be sons of God. A chosen people who are to be established firstly as a priesthood. As a priesthood dedicated to the glory of God. As kings in the making, who will reign over situations and circumstances in the name of God. As prophets who will speak forth the word of God so that it will be performed. So we are such a people. We open the Scriptures to discover what God has for us in the Scriptures. There is a flow to Scripture. In the sense that God is fulfilling something all the time. The Scriptures are not a static reality. Man's realities are so often static. But God's realities are dynamic. In the sense that they have a purpose, they have a destiny. They are always achieving something. So when we open the Word of God, we must always know that God wants to do something with the Scriptures. He's not just giving us information. Although definitely in the Scriptures there is a lot of information. But more than information, God wants to bring forth knowledge, he wants to establish understanding, he wants to bring forth wisdom, he wants to unveil a new creation. So the flow of scripture, there is a flow of scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There is a flow of scripture. The Bible was written in the pages of history. Like, it's not a book confined to history. It is a book that fulfills history. It talks about the fulfillment of history. A new heavens and a new earth. A chosen people dedicated to the glory of God. A bride for the Lamb. He talks about nations that will walk in the rising of this bride. And this bride is going to be a living temple. So God, in the flow of scripture, has an intent and purpose of something that he says he will fulfill. And we must understand it, that it is our duty to discover what our little purpose is in that whole massive flow of history. And you must understand that you are a creature of destiny. That you are not just someone here who is going to spend 70 years and then pass along. You are a creature of eternity. And God wants you to understand and know the scriptures so that you can participate in his plan. That you can take hold of what he has for you. That you can bring forth the purpose that God has for your life. The Word of God. The Word of God is something God wants to perform. Let's turn first to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. And this is a verse that has meant so much to me, because it really ignited something inside of me when I first read it, because it was an awesome thing. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. So please pay attention to this. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11, I'm reading from the New American Standard. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it." For I'm watching over my word to perform it. That's very key to understand that. That you're not just reading an idea, you're not just reading about something in history. Essentially, God wants to perform his word. He wants to perform his word in your life. He wants to perform his word in your being. He wants to perform his word in your heart, in your mind. He wants to perform his word in your character, in your nature. He wants to perform his word in your personality. He wants to perform his word in every facet of your life. In conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. He's wants and desires to perform his word. Your job is to make sure that you are receiving his word. Your job is to make sure that the word that you are receiving is indeed God's word and not somebody else's version of the word. So it is very important that you understand something when you deal with the word of God. You must deal with the word of God in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. No hidden agendas. Right? No hidden agendas. No intents that are selfish and self-centered. The Word of God is unveiling God's purpose. The Word of God has the intent of doing what God wants to do. Your job is to understand that must always be. That it is your job to discover what God wants to do. And if you are willing to receive the word of God with the intent of knowing what God wants to do, then God will perform that word. And when God performs that word, he creates, he fashions, he molds, he establishes purpose, he establishes direction, right? He manifests his power. And that's what it's all about. Learning how to let God be God. That is the underlying intent of scripture. Learning to know who God is and allowing God to be God. When Adam and Eve fell, they decided to take their destiny in their own hands. They decided to do something that they thought that would be manifested from themselves. That they could know something in themselves. And what has resulted has been a tragedy. Man thinking that he can do things for himself. And most of us have gone through life to discover that we haven't done a great job with it. We have learned one lesson. We aren't as smart as we thought we were. So God has given us His scripture, and our job is to discover what that scripture has for us. Its intent and its purpose. Right? When the scripture has the right intent in our hearts, then the flow can manifest. What is this flow all about? It's about life. Hello? It's about life. It's about unveiling the life that is in God. That's why the Bible says that God is life. The life that in God, that is in God, has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. It has to be described. What is the word of God for? It is to describe something. To describe something precisely. To describe something, to bring it into us with understanding, with conviction, with confidence, with direction, with purpose. The word of God is designed to do things with us. It is not there for the mere fact that we should know something or we can sit down and argue about the scriptures. It is terrible when we sit down and argue about scriptures because we reduce it to... The scriptures are for us to bow before God and to discover what He has for us. It is not for us to prove that we are smarter than each other or we know more than each other. The scriptures are for us to discover the desires of God's heart. Because we all must understand that what God has decreed is what there is going to be. Nobody is going to stop that. The scriptures will be performed. The scriptures will be fulfilled. All that God has ordained from the foundations of the world will be established. Nobody is going to stop that. Nobody is going to prevent that. The only question is whether you and I will be part and parcel of that purpose. So it is our duty to take hold of the scriptures. It will be foolish if we don't do that. Because God is not going to do something that He has not purposed in His word. Hello? You cannot become a godly person just by mere experience. For the simple fact that God has to tell you what is right and what is wrong. God has to define those things inside of you. People gave their lives so that you would have the scriptures in your hands. So many times in history, attempts were made to destroy the manuscripts of the scripture. So don't take it lightly that you can just go into a shop, pay $200 and buy a leather-bound Bible. Right? So many people gave their lives so that you could have that privilege. Right? So we need to understand that we need to take time to discover the scriptures. This whole Bible school is about the Word of God. The Word of God unveiled by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. The Word of God that has the intent of doing what God wants to do with you. Right? And what God wants to do with you is something you are going to find out in all eternity because it will never end. Right? Although we may be in this classroom, all of us has got a unique purpose in God. We are not copies of each other. You are certainly not copies of me. Right? And you need to understand that this whole place, this whole school is meant to enable you to receive and realize your purpose in God. And then as you learn how to put it together with others in the body of Christ, you will begin to see the greater purposes of God. Because we are not just called to stand as individuals, we are called to stand as a body. We are called to learn how to complement each other. Right? Because all of us will have unique giftings. We will see things in different perspectives. We will understand things in different perspectives. And as we learn how to give regard to each other, as we learn how to understand how the Holy Spirit uses each one of us as different and individual vessels, we will begin to see and understand the greater things in God. So this intent and purpose of God, you must understand. All right? So this flow of scripture, you must be willing to receive and realize in your life. Ultimately, this flow will result in you being able to live what God has put into you. And what you live is what is ministry. Because ultimately, The Bible tells us that you are to love your brother as yourself. And God said, unless you love your brother or your neighbor as yourself, you don't have a clue of what it means to love me. So ministry is the act of learning how to express what God has put into you. To put something into the life of somebody else, to make somebody else alive to God, to bless somebody else's life, to open them to the reality of God's saving grace, to open them to the creative work of God, to open them to the Word of God so that God can also perform His Word in their lives in the same way He has done in your life. So this flow of Scripture is very, very important. Remember this, God is watching over His Word to perform it. And that is very crucial to our understanding. Let's look at another reality. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this is another verse that you need to understand. In all of this teaching ministry, you're going to absorb the Word of God. So when you listen to this tape, please focus on the Word of God. What is the Word of God saying? Right? What is the Word of God saying? Right? We just said something that is very important. God is watching over His Word to perform it. And you must see God performing that Word inside of you. Right? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God spoke and there was light. So the Word of God can do that. God has spoken, we have to receive it because we are free will creatures. God cannot do with us what we don't see Him doing. Are you with me? He cannot bring into you something that you don't want. He cannot bring into you something that you don't appreciate. That's why Jesus said, you cannot cast pearls before swine. There is no way the swine will appreciate what a pearl is. It may be the smartest swine around, the most brilliant swine, but it is by nature a swine. And by nature a swine will not appreciate a pearl, no matter what you do with that swine. Unless you transform that swine into some other kind of creature. Correct? And that's what we must understand. Alright? So, God is watching over His Word to perform it. Let's continue with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's very powerful. We're going to spend some time on this verse. It tells us that the Scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable. It is profitable in the sense that you will never regret you spent time absorbing God's Word. It will bear dividends in your life in all eternity. Hello? The Bible says that the Word of God stands forever. The only thing that will stand forever is the Word that God has manifested in the knowledge of who He is and all that He is. In Psalm 138 verse 2, it is said that God has glorified His Word according to all of His name. I'm using the New American Standard, right? So you need to understand that the Word of God is inspired. What does the word inspired mean? It is breathed with the Spirit of God. It is God breathed. Right? It is not someone sitting under the apple tree and found out that the apple fell on his head and he got inspired. That is our human kind of inspiration. When God talks about inspiration, He's talking about something He has breathed into. When God created man, what did He do? He blew His breath into the man. And he became a living soul. Became a living being, the Bible says in the book of Genesis. So in the same way, in the Word of God, God has breathed into His Word. The Word contains His breath. It is not of the intellect of man. It is God breathed. And you must understand that being God-breathed, it represents a reality that is beyond anything that we know in this world system. That's why it can create. That's why it can bring forth life. That's why it can bring forth something out of nothing. It is the creative force of God, His breath. It is the manifestation of life. God breathes, and the word describes the intent in which God breathes. Hello? God is love, it's a statement. But if that statement, God is loved, is breathed into your being and it develops into you, it will transform your personality, it will transform your character, it will transform your mind, it will transform the way you do anything and everything. Simple. You don't have to be a genius to know that. So whoever you are, wherever you have come from, when the Word of God is manifested in you, it is not an intellectual reality. It is something about life. God has the intent of bringing forth that word inside of you. He has the intent of making that word alive in you through His breath. In the Old Testament, Ruach, breath, is spirit. Right? Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit. The anointing is also spirit. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, right? A whole bunch of things, right? But through the word of God, God is giving a definitive purpose to the spirit that He is breathing. All right? So God is love. That statement has the intent of bringing into us the reality that God is love. Right? Realizing that love, right? Transforming our hearts and our minds in that reality. It is not there just for information, God is love, so that we can sit down and write a nice essay about it. It's about life. God wants you to live in the fact that God is life. God wants you to think that. God wants you to breathe that. God wants you to do everything in the reality that God is love. Amen. In that reality, God will create something inside of you, right? So the word of God being inspired is not an intellectual idea, brethren. It's a spiritual reality. And that's something you must understand that is fundamental about this book. This book is about spiritual things. It is not about scientific things. It is not about philosophical things, although you will find a little bit of science there, a little bit of philosophy there. In fact, you can do a lot of philosophizing through the Bible. But God is not interested in philosophizing. God is interested in life. God is interested in what takes place. God is interested in fulfillment. So God inspired the Word. The word of God is inspired so that it can do something. So if there is anything that is going to come out of your life and my life, it is going to come out of the word of God. All right? Got to get that straight. Hello, we can go to church and we can sit down. The anointing comes upon us. We feel great for 3 days and then we go back to where we were. What is missing? What is missing is the reality that is defined by the Word. Because the reality that is defined by the Word can receive spirit upon spirit. You see, you and I are fundamentally spirit beings. All right? Spirit upon spirit. If you don't carry any Word, what is going to absorb? What is going to hold the spirit that God manifested through the anointings upon? It requires the word. It requires purpose and direction. God doesn't do something for you to just feel good. Right? The drunk goes to the bar, Christians go to church so that they can have a new experience. And then 3 days later they are back normal. That's not what it's all about. All right? God has got purpose. He's not manifesting His presence for the fun of it. so that we can feel good for the time being and carry on the way we live every day. Right? God is manifesting His presence with a desire to unfold something. And He has got a different desire in each one of us, because the Bible says you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand this. All of the Word of God is inspired. It's God-breathed. All right? And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Very important for us to understand that since we have a fallen nature, that one of the fundamental things that we have to accept in life is reproof and correction. If you're not prepared to be corrected, you cannot grow up. As a parent, if you're not prepared to correct your children, you're going to ruin their lives. Right? Correction. But God says correction and reproof must come through the Word of God. Not out of anger, not out of emotion, not out of our smart thoughts. It is supposed to come out of the Word of God. And you need to understand that. You need to receive that. You should not be afraid of that. It is so important and necessary that God correct us. It is absolutely necessary that God correct us. That's why in the book of Hebrews, I think it's in chapter 12, God says that if I do not reprove you, you don't belong to me. Right? If you're not willing to understand that I need to reprove you, then you don't understand anything about my love. You don't understand anything about what I mean to do with you. Amen? So you need to understand that the reproofs will come. God will not bash you up. But what it means is that He will correct you. He will correct you. It's a very careful and precise process that God brings into your life. And it has to take place in each and every one of us. How God will correct you and how God will correct me will be an entirely and unique difference. Right? Are you with me? Right? You are His son, whether you are male or female. And God wants you to know that. And so, accept the fact that you are going to be reproved and corrected. Alright? That is very important. You must understand that. Alright? God is teaching you, right? God is teaching you. He's training you in righteousness, right? He's training you in righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is what God does right. Yahweh Tsidkenu is the name of God. I am who I am. I am righteous. Right? So training in righteousness. Right? Why does God correct us? So that we will learn to do things as God would do them. That we will be in one spirit with Him. That we will be open to what He is planning to do. Because we are the vessels through which He's going to do a whole bunch of things. And all of this age of the church is to pick those vessels that He's going to choose as a royal priesthood, as a royal household. So don't despise this time. Don't look at the things that are around you. They are passing away. Hello. There were empires throughout history. They have all passed on by. There were emperors who could do all kinds of things, or they thought they could do all kinds of things. They are all history. Today, they are totally irrelevant to our lives. It makes no difference that Alexander was the great. Great what? Right? It means nothing to us today. Right? It makes no difference that Julius Caesar was the first great emperor, whatever it is. Right? It is irrelevant to us. Right? It doesn't make an iota of difference to our lives. So understand this. Right? The things of man are all transitory. They will pass on by. The British Empire, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, all that is gone. Right? And so we must understand from history. Right? That's why history is important. That's why so much of the Bible contains history. Why is the history written? The history is written to teach us lessons. What is the lesson? That the things of man pass on, but the things of God remain. The things of God remain. No matter how many mistakes there are in church history, the body of Christ continues to be. the empires that were there when the body of Christ was being formed have all gone away. But the body of Christ continues. And the body of Christ will continue until God perfects and brings forth what He wants. Yes, we have done a lot of mistakes. But thank God, God hasn't given up on us. Thank God, God is still watching over His word to perform it. And it is our job to get that word right, so that we can show by testimony that God can actually perform His word. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's understand this, that the word is inspired, it has got purpose, and that purpose involves us being trained to do what is right. Verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate. Right? Adequate. Be able, be sufficient to do what God wants to do. Do you also notice that it says man of God? That in the training of righteousness, you become a man of God. Now that word man of God is not specific to the male species. It includes all women. Hello, why do I say that? Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you realize that faith in Jesus Christ knows no gender? It is not gender specific. So you are all sons of God. God, what is God saying? Whether you're male or female, the same position is open to you. All right? For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The New King James uses slightly different words. I like this thing, being clothed with Christ. Christ is not gender specific. So we need to understand that being clothed with Christ applies to all of us, male and female. Right? There is neither Jew nor Greek. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because faith in Jesus Christ is not race specific either. Being clothed with Christ is not based on race. It is available to anyone who is prepared to be conformed to Christ, as Paul would say. Alright? So there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay? So you need to understand that. Okay? So the Word of God is designed to make you a man of God. Right? And that includes the woman. Alright? So, you need to understand that. Where were we? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's very important. So the flow of the word specific to your life is to make you a man of God, to equip you so that you can do what God wants you to do. That's very important for you to understand that. Now in this school, we are not trying to make, this is not a school of theology. Alright? So we are going to be focused more on things that will affect our lives, make us instruments of the Lord, make us, oh God, make us ministers of the Word of God. Okay? That's what we are going to be focused on. There are so many other things we can talk about. Alright? But we want to talk about the flow of Scripture that affects you personally. Alright? Because there is a flow of Scripture that God wants to develop in your specific life. Alright? He wants to bring it out. It will create you. It will fashion you. It will form you. It will give you purpose. It will unveil your life in all eternity. That flow of Scripture you have to capture. And in order to capture it, you need a heart. And that heart God means to give you. And that's very important too, because through the Word of God, God is going to create that heart. In Psalm 51, David cries out, O God, create in me a clean heart. Right? A clean heart. How is God going to manifest a clean heart? He has to create it. David recognized it immediately. You have to create in me a clean heart. How does God create? He creates using His word. In order to create something, you have to specify it. Right? Once you have specified it, then you can breathe into it and it will become alive. Correct? So God does that through His word. The word that God uses to bring forth life is represented by the Greek word called rhema. Rhema. The word that is breathed in the life of God. The word that carries the spirit and life of God. Rhema word. And that rhema word is what has to be received inside of us. It has to be realized. Once it is realized, it becomes what is called logos. It forms, it takes a definite form within you. It is an end, logos is the end product. Jesus Christ is the word of God, the logos. So from logos to logos, there is a transmission. That transmission is rhema. Alright? That rhema is the inspired word of God manifested to you. Quickened by the Holy Spirit, brought alive inside of you in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Right? That's why in John 6:63, Jesus says, "My words to you are spirit and life." Since they are His words, they carry His spirit and His life. That's what we must understand. And if you and I can receive the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, we can be all that God wants us to be. So this inspired word that God is speaking into our lives is so very, very important. All right? So don't get into arguments about the word of God. Spend your time asking the Lord to make the word of God alive to you. Okay, so far we have taken two passages of scripture, right? Two principal passages of scripture. The first is that God is watching over His word to perform it. The second is that the word is inspired. And it will unveil you as a man of God, fully equipped for all that God means to bring forth from your life. Right? So, your spending time in the Word of God is so crucial and so very important. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, listen to the Word of God. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Right, you find that in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, I think, right? Right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Remember this, it is by hearing. Right? It is by hearing. Right? It is by hearing. That's one of the reasons why you must articulate each module that you go through in your own words. Listen to the tape, but you must bring it forth from you. Because God has told us something about the word of God. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 14 and 15. But the word is very near you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14 and 15. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. If you don't articulate the word of God, it is incomplete. Are you listening? See, God can put the word of God in your heart. You have to bring it out. You have to articulate it. You have to bring it out of your being. You have to speak it forth. Whether you have an audience or you are standing before the mirror, it makes no difference. Look at yourself and preach to your congregation. Right? Right? Share the word of God. Bring it out in your own words. So it's very important that you understand it, that the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. It is not there for information. You have to learn how to bring it out in your own words, depending on the Lord to make that alive to you. asking Him, seeking Him, right? Persevering with it, right? It has to come out of your mouth. The Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Notice that He uses mouth first, right? What does that mean? You actually realize the Word of God through the speaking of your mouth. Okay? But you must understand it also involves your heart. You see, God is not just asking you to take the Bible and read it aloud. He's asking about bringing forth out of your mouth what is in your heart. See, the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart, isn't it? Right? You see, this hearing has to rise from your heart. What is God doing in that process? He's creating a witness within you. Right? He's creating a witness within you. A witness that is something that you have realized from God. And you have not realized it unless you are able to bring it out of your mouth. Are you with me? This is a process that God has to work into you. Right? God putting the word in your heart is a supernatural process. Okay? You must understand that. Alright? I will put my word in your heart, says the Lord. Alright? Okay? And that's one of the fundamental ways in which God teaches us. Right? Let's turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 25, verse 16. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. So one of the things God says is, I will give you a testimony. The word of God is a testimony of God. That's why it is called the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that testimony, right? Say, God says, I will give it to you. All right? Now let's look at what He did with Moses. He takes him up into Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. He takes Moses into Mount Sinai, and when he had finished speaking, chapter 31 verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Okay? So the stone had nothing to do with Moses. The two tablets of the testimony had nothing to do with Moses. It had nothing to do with his spiritual status. It was entirely given by God, written by the finger of God. Okay? Exodus 32 verse 16. Here it is saying, and the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Okay? So the tablets themselves were the work of God. The writing on the tablets was the writing of God. So entirely those tablets were 100% the work of God. Now what has this got to do with us? In the flow of scripture, you come to this, to the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul makes it alive to us. It is part of how God is going to fashion and form His covenant with you and me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. I'm going to read selected parts of this from the New American Standard. Alright? You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If you look at the New King James, it says hearts of flesh. Are you with me? So God means to manifest your heart as 100% work of God. Hello, people of God, are you listening? This is the flow of scripture. This is what God means by performing His word. He means to perform His word, and at the heart of the performance of His word is the creation of a heart inside of you and me. And that heart is 100% the work of God. So when you hear the word of God, you are supposed to hear the word of God. Not memorize. memorization is of the intellect of man. The law of God says you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, then all of your soul, and then with all of your mind. The mind is a secondary instrument in the work of God. The primary instrument is your heart. And what God wants you to do in order to receive the word of God is to hear the word of God from your heart. Hear the word of God from your heart. And then he wants you to speak forth what you have heard. And in that process, a witness is manifested. Now you're going to use that witness to pray, you're going to use that witness to worship God, you're going to use that witness to preach the word of God. Depending on what calling you have. But that witness is a God-given witness. It is not an intellectual creation of man. It is 100% the word of God. I will give you a testimony, says the Lord. Either he is lying or he is telling the truth. There is no in-between there. He doesn't need your help. He only needs your obedience. He only needs you to bow before him and say, "Teach me, Lord." And that's very, very fundamental to realizing the flow of Scripture. Because the flow of Scripture is going to move through your heart and it's going to manifest through your mouth. It is going to unveil a witness, and you can impart that witness by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's ministry. That witness can break strongholds of darkness. That witness can manifest the finger of God. It can bind Satan. It can unveil the sword of the Spirit that will pierce the hearts of men. That witness. But it can only manifest as the sword of the Spirit if that witness is God's creation in you. Do you catch the picture? The sword of the Spirit means the sword of the Holy Spirit. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to him. Amen? Are you with me? So you need to understand that. All right? That witness is what we are talking about in the school of ministry. Creating that witness. Right? Receiving that witness. Developing that witness. And it's all inside of you, and it's all living inside of you. Right? And this tabernacle of your being, you are possessing what God is bringing inside of you. And it's got nothing to do with your brilliance. All right? It's got nothing to do with which race you belong to. It's got nothing to do with what educational level you've got. It is 100% the work of God. All right? And in this process, God is making a new creation. So the flow of the Scripture is to unveil a new creation. Always remember that. That's why Ephesians 2:10 says that you are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of God. Right? Okay? And you need to understand that. And this new creation is unveiled in a witness. And that witness God has given you, you are asked to possess that witness and live through that witness. And this is how God is going to use you as his vessel forever and ever. So the flow of Scripture is very, very personal to us. And in this school of ministry, we are concerned with the flow of Scripture that will touch the human life. Now there is a flow of Scripture that will manifest the history of the world. There will be new heavens and a new earth. And that's all great stuff. Right? But we are going to focus on the things that are going to make us all that God wants us to be. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling the greater purposes of God. They are always there. That's wonderful. But I'm saying that we need to unveil the flow of Scripture that affects our being. Right? Why? Because the world needs the love of God. And we are the vessels through whom God is going to manifest that love. Right? So part of this witness that God is creating inside of you is the reality that God is love. God is love must become your witness. When God is love becomes your witness, then everything you speak will reflect the fact that God is love. Everything you think will reflect the fact that God is love. Everything you do will reflect the fact that God is love. You will not do anything that will not reflect the fact that God is love, because this witness is living inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus calls himself in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 as the true and faithful witness. You see, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when you receive the Word of God in the name of Jesus, He unveils inside of you a true and faithful witness, so that you can move by the Spirit in that witness. Are you with me? See, the charismatic move came and we saw a whole bunch of guys go off into error, right? We've seen it. Why did they go off into error? Very simple, because they were functioning in a witness that was not of God. Their flesh got into their way. Their ambitions got into their way. Money got into their way. Right? Fame and fortune got into their way. See, that's why the preparation of a man of God takes time. What takes time? It takes time because the witness must be the witness that God has given you. If it is not, then the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole dough. Right? A little leaven leavens the whole dough. It's only a question of time. It has to be 100% the work of God. And there's no two ways about it. You may not like to hear that, but it is a fact. Because if you look at church history, this is what has gone wrong with church history. Men have done what they thought was a brilliant idea. And church history has shown that all of man's ideas are rubbish. Unless that idea is given to you by God. Unless that idea is developed in you by God. Unless that idea becomes something that is entirely a manifestation in the name of God. No two ways about that. Right? No two ways about that. So this process is a slow process. It's a necessary process. Amen? In order to develop this witness, God kept Jesus for 18 years in a carpenter's workshop. What did he do in the carpenter's workshop? He learned how to find favor with God and with man, the Bible says. He found favor with God and with man. And you may turn around and say, what the heck is so great about finding favor? Or everything. Right? Are you with me? He developed a witness of being able to relate in the right way. So where is your carpenter's workshop? Right? It is not a comfortable place, this carpenter's workshop. It is there in whatever the situations and circumstances of your life are. So training for ministry is a reality God brings where you are living. In the place where you are, in the little universe that you occupy. And in that little universe that you occupy, God says, I want to build in you my witness. I want to bring it out of your being. I want to establish it in your character. I want to establish it in your personality. I want to establish it in your conscious, your subconscious, your unconscious. I want to establish it in your spirit, your soul, your body. I want to establish it into your heart and in your mind. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my priest. I want you to be my chosen and anointed creation. Praise the Lord. And all this is going to be done as you keep hearing the Word of God. All right? Now this word, this whole idea of hearing the Word of God has got many different levels. right? And we will go into that ability to hear, right? Right? In future sessions. But one of the things you need to understand as hearing is when you pray in tongues, you also hear. You hear the mysteries that are in the Word. Right? You hear the mysteries that are in the Word. So you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can enter into the mysteries of God. Alright? Because the flow of Scripture is a mystery, brethren. God is love is a mystery. Do you know that? It is something that has to be revealed in you. It has to be something that has to be developed inside of you. God is love is not something that is of your intellect or my intellect. God is love is a reality that is in the heart of God. And He has to manifest that within you. That's why when we started, we said that the Word of God is inspired. It is breathed. What is it breathed with? It is breathed with all that is in God. God is love is a reality that carries all of God's love. It has to be open to us. It has to be developed in our life. It has to be developed in our character. It has to be brought out of our words and our deeds. It's a slow process. It's a slow process because it involves your free will. It involves you accepting and desiring to know that God is love. Hello. That is part and parcel of covenant. Offer and acceptance. Correct? Offer and acceptance. Contract. Correct? He is offering you His love. Jesus went on the cross to make the offer. Right? But you have to accept Him. You have to accept His character. You have to accept His nature. You have to accept all of that through the realities of His Word. Because His Word will explain to you, right, what He has breathed into it. But it's a mystery. Amen? So one of the things you will find as you start pursuing God's Word is that there's a part of you that wants God's Word and there's a part of you that doesn't want God's Word. And there are certain things in God's Word that the part of you that doesn't want it will really come up like that. Right? And you say, I don't want that. So how do you overcome that? Now one of the reasons why God gave us the gift of tongues is so that we can overcome all of these things that are stuck with our soul, our unrepentant soul. Correct? Our fallen nature. Right? And so use tongues judiciously. Use tongues so that you can overcome this barrier that is in your own character and nature. Right? Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Let the Holy Spirit bring forth in you something that will overcome this. I'm not saying it will happen instantly, but it will happen over time. Why does it take time? Because you have to accept it. Hello? You have to accept it. There is no contract without acceptance. Right? There is no contract without acceptance. So everything God brings into you, you have to be willing to accept it. So if you're asking why is God slow, it is because you and I are slow. It is not that He is slow. If He had His way, He would like to put it all inside of us in one instant. But He has given us a free will. And that free will has to be drawn. Right? Drawn into the love of God. Amen? When the love of God involves correction and molding, you will find that the human being says, I don't want that. That's one of the hardest parts. But yet God says it is necessary. You have to give up what is wrong. You have to choose to give up what is wrong. You must want to give up what is wrong. Right? So please understand that. That in this flow of Scripture into you, God is bringing into you the reality of His character and His nature too. That's why in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter mentions something called becoming a partaker of the divine nature. That's how we change. Amen. So the flow of Scripture into us is to bring into us a nature that we don't have. Isn't that wonderful? You see, everything in the Word of God is about us receiving. Receiving, taking hold and accepting of what God gives us. When you receive and take hold and accept what God has given you, you are learning to be obedient to Him. Praise the Lord. Okay? So obedience is not under the letter of the law. Under the letter of the law, you are supposed to use your willpower to obey. How do you obey when you don't want to obey? Hello? How do you love when you don't want to love? See, that's what's wrong with people who try and observe the law. Right? You cannot do what you cannot do. Right? So what does God do? He says, I will fulfill my word inside of you. I will bring inside of you a nature you don't have. And as you receive and accept this nature, you will be able to do that which you cannot do. So this flow of Scripture is not an intellectual reality. It's a spiritual manifestation. All right? And that's the key. Hello? That's the key, brethren. Receive the Word of God, realize it, accept it, pray it into your life, and you will change. And you will change in spite of yourself. You will change. And in that process, you will begin to understand God's love. You will begin to understand God's righteousness. You will begin to appreciate God's work with you. And in that process, you will come to love Him. In that process, you will begin to appreciate how absolutely important God is to your life. So what is the Word of God concerned with? The testimony of God. The testimony of God. That's why the Bible is declared to be a testament. All right? Tomorrow we will talk about this testament. And we'll talk about the features in this testament. And we will look at how you can see that testament. What's the difference between that Old Testament and that New Testament? How should we look at the Scripture? How should we understand the flow of Scripture? But today what we have talked about is that the flow of Scripture, whatever its form, it has to manifest and touch your life. It has to flow through your being. It has to unveil you as the vessel that God wants you to be. Be prepared to receive that. It takes a lot of the heartache that the law imposes on you. Hello. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you find that people could not obey the law. Why? Because they were by nature disobedient. Right? Okay. So, one of the keys that God has to bring into us is this reality of being obedient. So God sent Jesus the Word, and He described this word obedient in the life of Jesus. He described this word obedient in the life of Jesus. It is part of the testimony of Jesus. Correct? And in the testimony of Jesus, God unveiled the spirit and life that He would then bring into us through the Word. So it is the spirit and life of Jesus that makes God's Word fulfilled. So under the law, you and I were discovered to be disobedient people. In Jesus Christ, as we understand what He has done for us, as we understand that the Word of God is described in His Spirit and His life, we receive and realize His obedience, and we are transformed into obedience. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Through the situations and circumstances of the life that you are living in today, correct. Everything in the scripture is practical. It is manifested in what is happening in your life today. Amen. Alright. So praise the Lord. So this flow of scripture is what you need to receive and realize. The flow of scripture enters your heart and it has to manifest through your mouth. Right? And you have to learn how to do that. And that's your training process. Right? And you have to pray it and ask the Lord to manifest that training process. Asking you to receive and realize through that heart. Okay? Okay? And enabling you to release through your mouth what your heart has released. In that process, right? So, you know, you're talking to your wife and you are releasing the right words to her. Do you realize that in that process, God is also training you for ministry? Hello. You receive the word of God, you release that word of God towards her. One day you're going to release it to a whole bunch of people in a different context, in a different situation. That's the same process. So God is with you in every situation and circumstance of your life today. God is with you 24 hours of the day. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Right? And His training process in your life is there all the time. In that whole process, He is developing your witness. He is fine-tuning your witness. What is knowing God? It is fine-tuning your witness to the frequencies of God. Correct? That's it. That's what it means to hear the voice of the Lord. That's what it means to hear the heartbeat of the Lord. It is all in your witness. The witness has to be fine-tuned. Now, how God fine-tunes your witness and how God fine-tunes my witness, that's a different thing altogether. Because we are all uniquely shaped. We have unique personalities. We have unique desires. We have unique attitudes. And God is fine-tuning each one of us so that we can receive of His witness. Amen? And when God says that you are a tabernacle in the making, which is why we call the school the Tabernacle School of Ministry. Right? What is a tabernacle? The dwelling place of God. Alright? The dwelling place of God. What does that mean? Dwelling place of God. What is it God wants to put inside of you? Let's end today with this verse. Right? Let's turn to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. These words were spoken over the Temple of Solomon. Well, the Temple of Solomon ain't there anymore. Jesus came and He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, you and I are called the house of Christ. We are tabernacles of the Lord. And what does God want to do inside of us? He wants to put His name. He wants to unveil His eyes. He wants to unveil His heart. What does it mean He puts His eyes there? He wants you to see the way He sees. Hello. What do you do with eyes? You see with eyes. Now God is saying, I will put my eyes inside of there. What is He saying? I want you to see what I see. He says, I will put my heart there. I want you to know my heartbeat. I want you to know the desires of my heart. I want your heart and my heart to be one. I will put my name there. What does He mean by that? I want you to know who I am. I want you to love me. I want you to belong to me. I want you to understand that you are mine. So this tabernacle is so important. If you're not a tabernacle, you can't speak the words of God. Cannot, impossible. Otherwise you will become like one of those fly-by-night preacher men who will sell anything using the name of Jesus. You don't want to be like that, because God will discard you one day. And that's utterly stupid, isn't it? So let's get it right. Let's understand that we are a tabernacle. A tabernacle that God has chosen. You see, you must understand what God is saying. He's saying that when you actually come to know me, you will love me with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. He's telling you that when you come to know me, there is an ecstasy in knowing me that nothing else can give you. Right? And that's what you must understand. Now we have a fallen nature, so all that sounds like, oh my goodness, I have to stop seeing movies, I have to stop seeing this, and I have to stop doing that, and stop doing this, you know. And we say, oh my goodness, it is hard. When was the last time you saw a movie and came out ecstatic? And it filled your life with overflowing and you said, this is life. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? But when God fills your life, you will be ecstatic all the time. That's the key. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Right? You are not going to be a Christian if you don't enjoy it. You're not going to be a vessel of God if you don't love it. So what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love and joy. First two. And then comes the rest of the stuff. But God is, what is he saying? If I don't show you that you will love it, and if I don't show you that you will enjoy it, then I'm bluffing you. Right? Hello? You're not going to be a man of God and a vessel of God if you don't love it and you don't enjoy it. Yeah? Praise the Lord. And so you need to understand that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? Praise the Lord. Yes, there are difficulties in life. Yes, there are trials, there are tribulations. But inside of you, there is a relationship with God that God says will bring love and joy inside of you. So keep your heart on that. Right? Keep your heart on that. You see, that love and that joy has to be described through God's word. And then made alive inside of you by the Holy Spirit. When God takes the word that contains the love and joy of God, and he works it into your system, it then manifests inside of you love and joy. And then you will begin to understand it. Because the love of God and the love of man is not the same. The joy of God and the joy of man are not the same. God doesn't laugh at dirty jokes. He probably vomits over dirty jokes. As you grow as a Christian, you will find that you will also feel that. It's no longer funny. That dirty jokes are dirty. There's nothing funny inside of them. It makes you sick. It makes you want to throw up. Correct? See, in that little example that most of us have already experienced, you begin to realize an understanding that as you grow in God, there is a different reality. Right? So that's why God says, I want to put inside of you my name. I am who I am. I want you to understand who I am. And I want you to understand all that I am. Because in who I am and in all that I am, there is a whole different reality. There is a whole different reality of life. And that life I want to bring into you. Praise the Lord. And when you receive and realize this life, you will find out that it's all a different thing than what you thought of. Right? Praise the Lord. So shall we pray? Father, we thank you that there is a flow and intent to the scriptures, Lord. And that flow and intent is so intimate to each and every one of us, Lord. There is a peculiar flow and there is a peculiar intent that you want to establish and fulfill in each and every one of our lives. And how awesome, Father, is that reality, Lord. We thank you that you are persevering with us. You are persevering with us to perform your word inside of us. To bring into us the reality, O Lord, that declares that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we thank you, Lord, that your word also says that the sum total of your thoughts over us are vast. And so we bless you and thank you that you have great thoughts over each one of our lives. And we pray that you will bring in those thoughts within us by revealing your word inside of us, by establishing your word in us, by fulfilling your word in us, by unfolding your word as a creative work inside of us, by manifesting the word, O God, through the life that we live, through the words that we speak, unveiling our character, our nature, our personalities, in all that you have given us through the word, Father. So we look forward to entering into this school of ministry, Father. Each one of us a tabernacle in the making. Each one of us a promise being unveiled, Father. Because those promises that you have in the scriptures are meant to be established in our lives and manifested through our ministries, Lord. So open our eyes that we may see great things. Open our hearts that we may receive and realize great things. Open our ears that we may hear with understanding. So Lord, teach us your word, and let your word be to us the blessing you want it to be. Bless us, O God, that we may be a blessing to others. And teach us, O God, to realize that every blessing that you give, it is meant to be given, Father. It is meant to be expressed. It is meant to be communicated. So, Father, as you bless us with your word, teach us to communicate every blessing that you bring into us so that we will be a walking, talking blessing, Father, in every situation and circumstance. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.